Hey guys, welcome to episode three of the TESO Elite podcast. This week we got some really hot button topics for you, some that turned into quite the rage fest on the forums. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what your guys' opinion is on that topic. So as always, let's start off and introduce the cast. So we're going to go down the list. First we have Kind Death.
Why do you start with me first and I get pulled in 15 minutes before? I hate you, Garber. Hi, I'm Kind Death. I was not planning on being here. I hate you, Galetta. I mean, love you. Hope you're okay.
And then we have Chainsaw.
What's up, Dr. Chainsaw? 3 weeks in a row, baby.
Not a real doctor. And of course we have Laz.
Of course we have Laz. Hey guys, what's up? Lucky to be back again as well.
It's not a podcast without Laz. And I, of course, am Garbarak. Obviously. I mean, come on, look at me. So what have you guys been up to this week? I mean, we had the beta weekend, so how far did you guys get in the beta? Like, did you do anything fun, exciting, do a dungeon or anything like that? What's that?
What? I got a horse. I was pretty excited about that. Because I didn't have one on the PTS, so then I went to the the regular beta, and I bought the sweet horse, and but we'll talk more about that later, I'm sure.
Bought a sweet horse. Did you happen to name your horse by chance?
No, but I saw that you could. I didn't. I just left it. Well, I think it was like Diamond.
Diamond. But now, default, yeah.
Yeah, now I know that I got to think of a sweet name to name my
Laz.
Horse.
Yeah. All right, Kai, that's what work. About you? What'd you do this last beta weekend?
I think most of the people saw my ridiculously long stream and the horrible look on my face as my eyes drooped. Well, for people that were up from like 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. anyway. And
hey, you cut it early.
Hey, somebody's got to burn the midnight oil.
Some of the people were saying that you were like, they were telling you to get off, go to bed.
Yeah, they were. I listened eventually.
Yeah, that's dedication there, guys. Go to bed. I can't. Gotta keep. What's going on with you, Laz? What'd you do this weekend?
So I tried playing in the open beta, got completely frustrated and wound up back on PTS because I couldn't progress as far as I wanted to. Like, I had people were following me around too during the stream. I thought that was pretty incredibly weird. Like, they knew exactly where I was and wound up just being there and dancing in front of me. And I was like, okay, well, I can't go any further in this, so I'm going to go to the PTS. But it was that's basically how my beta weekend, summed up.
That's just proof. Make sure when you live stream some PvP, make sure you put a delay on there. They'll find you.
Yep.
I didn't do much of this weekend. I mean, you guys pretty much saw everything I did. I played some ESO, got all the way up to level 25, which isn't too bad. I didn't play as much as I wanted to. I started off at 14, so I ended up with 11 levels this weekend, so that's not too bad. Other than that, didn't really do anything exciting. A lot of people were really fascinated about my Templar build, or my Healar. I know Laz was impressed with it.
Seriously, dude. I'm still blown away by that fucking thing.
Oh, you're just jealous is all it is. Just jealous.
Well, when I'm like, okay, cool, I can solo anything, and I'm like two-shotting all the mobs one by one, and then you come in, it's like stab, stab, stab. It's kind of, you know... And, like, I feel hurt, but at the same time, I just can't help but stare. It's like an awesome train wreck.
It was fun, though. I mean, I was a little bit over-leveled for it. I was, four levels?
23.
Four levels higher than they were?
Four levels.
So, I mean, I wasn't, like, 10 or 15 levels higher, but it was still fun. So, other than ESO, what'd you guys do throughout the week? Did you guys play any other games during the week? We'll start with Chainsaw again.
No, not really. This weekend... I didn't really play a whole lot. Man, every time like a beta weekend comes by, I feel like I don't play it, and I feel like I'm missing out. Because it was St. Paddy's Day, so I went out and had like a beer fest and did all that. But man, I've just been slammed with school and doing stuff, so I've been kind of out of the loop a little bit this week. I need to get back into it. So hopefully this week will be a little bit lighter for me.
What about you, Kai? Did you do anything fun and exciting this week other than get completely smammered?
I didn't get smammered because of school and work. I played a little bit of StarCraft 2 and streamed that after I think our stream on Sunday ended. And then basically kind of what Chainsaw said for me as well. So
got swamped with RLA. How was the stream? Did you actually go have anything positive this time? Last time you were, what, 0-7, 1-7 or something like that?
Yeah, I just cheesed people like the entire time for the most part, so, which basically means you're doing crazy stuff that doesn't make any sense, that is amusing to you, and everybody else hates you for it, yeah. But I like to troll, so it's
especially perfect. If you're playing on a team, I would hate you.
And I was.
What about you, Laz? Anything fun and exciting during the week?
I got lots of tests. I don't know what it is, but it seems like one day after another, it's, hey, we got a test for this, and that, and then the other thing. It's like, crap, I just want to go home and play Black Flag or Dark Souls, and then anticipate Dark Souls 2. I can't get away from testing, it seems. Even on the weekend.
Man, all you guys in your real life stuff. I feel like your life sucks.
What'd you do? Did you just game all week?
I wish. I sat here and played on the forums. I talked to Vex, tried to get some bugs worked out. Tried to iron out some of the guild stuff as well. I've jumped into the game to check out some of the really horrific, horrific guild features that are in Elder Scrolls Online. I didn't really do much gaming, per se. Just a lot of research. Been doing, investigating this overcharge stuff, and I came up with something fairly interesting. I don't know if I'll talk about it today, but we'll see.
Oh. Why not? Now you've piqued my interest.
I'll put it this way. I don't think overcharge is as bad as what people say it is. It's a 50% cut in your attribute. So okay. Let's say you're in overcharge, but you get a piece of gear that gives you an extra 50 magicka, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're in overcharge, you're only going to get 50% of that, so you'll get an additional 25. But with that additional 25, all your other bonuses still increase. So your healing increases, your damage increases, everything else still increases.
Oh,
there's no diminishing returns on that aspect, just on the attribute itself.
So, okay. I mean,
you can still stack into the magicka all you want. If you're a healer, do it. Don't let overcharge mess with you. Stack into magicka.
Right. So you're saying like your hard gains, like if you heal somebody, it'll still heal for a huge amount, but you won't be able to cast as many because you don't have as much magicka. Because it overcharged it.
Yeah, I figured it out to be about two. Every 14 magicka, you get an additional 2 healing on your abilities.
Okay.
The damage, it's really hard to try and figure out the formula for it, because I think it actually incorporates your total magicka into the equation. But it's roughly for every 15 magicka, you could get 1 added damage to your abilities.
Okay.
So it's a little bit less than the healing.
Yeah.
But you're still getting that bonuses. So. I mean, 25 extra magicka is 25 extra damage. It's in a rough estimate.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. And that's also like, it's still a pain though when you see that little orange lightning bolt. You're like, damn, I'm overcharged. But now that you know that, it's a little you can take it a little bit easier.
Yeah,
it's like easier to swallow.
Yeah, I still need to research it a little bit more and see if it actually affects the final bonuses. But from what I can tell right now, it's strictly 50% of the attributes so far. So. Sure, 50% is a really bad diminishing return. I mean,
yeah,
you're supposed to get 50, you're getting 25, but 25 versus getting nothing is better than nothing.
Right, you're not getting 50% across the board, you're just getting on that on one thing, so I could live with that.
Yeah.
Interesting, that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting more diminishing returns to everything, not just specifically the one thing.
Yeah.
So nice. Let's jump into this hot button topic. I mean, I'm really eager to talk about this because
yes.
it's amazing. So the hot button. I'll let Chain talk about this.
The cash shop microtransactions. So I posted that little article, which is it could be old news to some of you because it came out a couple days ago. But we were talking about it, so I put it up there just saying. I forget what his name is, but lead developer said there will be a cash shop in the very beginning of Elder Scrolls. You can buy a horse for a small amount of money, or you can upgrade your account to the Imperial Edition at any point. And everyone is now like super adamant about it for some strange reason I can't figure out. I really don't think that it's a big deal. You buy a horse at level 1 as opposed to waiting. There's just so much coming out like, is it a big deal? It's going to make you level faster. It's going to make you this. It's going to make you so much better in so many aspects. And I can't agree with that. I'm really interested to hear what you guys think because I don't think that it's that big of a deal.
So let's start off with Laz. Laz, what do you think about this whole having the ability to buy a horse right at launch, which, by the way, early access, so just so everyone knows, early access people do not get access to the horse. It's only on the 4th. The 4th is when the store opens.
So I don't understand the problem. So you're real quick. So you're saying that since I bought the Imperial that I don't get the horse, or is that only for the standard early editions that don't get the horse? Is that what you're saying?
Jamie, you want to clarify that?
Wait, say that again.
So I have the Imperial. I get the horse at the early release, right?
Right. You already get it.
So the standard edition pre-orders don't get it, right? Like, they can't order it off the cash shop is what I'm understanding, correct?
Correct, because cash shop launches.
I just want to clarify that just to make sure there was no confusion in chat or anything. So what do I think of this? I really don't give a shit. Like, okay, oh my God, you're going to spend your real money to buy a horse? I already spent the real money to buy the horse. I don't understand the issue here. In fact, they're probably going to charge people more for that horse right at launch than they would for the Imperial Edition. So in fact, you're probably going to be losing money. They're going to probably make it $5, maybe $8 or something like that, where you could spend the 20, get the Mara Rings, get the treasure maps, get the vanity pets, get the horse, and the Imperial. I don't understand why it's such a big deal. In fact, people are losing out if they don't buy the Imperial at that point.
What do you think, Kyne? I know you like this topic.
I like trolling, but especially these kind of forum topics, because you know people just get overly dramatic over silly stuff. But do we even know the price yet? Have they announced the price?
Or not just the store? Imperial is $20.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I already knew about the Imperial because I have the Imperial one. I can't wait to get my hands on it. Anyway. They're doing this basically because I don't know if you read through the forums. I know you guys have paid a little bit more closer attention to it than some of her prior viewers. But there's a lot of people complaining on the forums, which I think a lot of MMO veterans are kind of used to the fact that mounts are bundled in the collector's editions of MMOs. Well, there's a lot of people playing Elder Scrolls Online that are Elder Scrolls players, and they haven't played MMOs before, and they were hitting the forums and they were going, hey, why are they getting a special mount? So after all, a lot of people on the forums complaining, I think this was kind of ZeniMax's way of going, okay, well, we're going to make this available to you too. All you people that aren't used to MMOs. That's kind of the vibe I got from it anyway. Mm.
I think people too, they're complaining that it's a cash shop and what's it going to lead to? It's going to lead to all this stuff. And it's like, well, just give it a break, man. It hasn't led to anything. It's led to something that was already available. And now they're just saying, well, now everybody can have it. It's not leading to anything worse than where it's at now.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how I see it. I mean, I completely agree with all you guys that it's a horse. I mean, I don't really see much value in the horse. I don't see it affecting the game in any way. I mean, Blizzard has had a cash shop, quote-unquote cash shop, for, what, five, 6 years now?
Yeah.
And nobody seems to complain about that. But
yeah, they started off with, like, character transfers, didn't they?
Yeah, and then they started getting the vanity pets and the mounts. But another topic within this is people are saying it's not the horse itself. It's the fact that it's a subscription-based MMO that's supposed to have 100% open content. And yet now they're putting this content, air quotes, content, in behind a pay gate. I mean, to me, I honestly don't think a horse, a cosmetic item, is in any way considered content.
Right. And I agree with that, especially because that content is available in the game, and it's not really that hard to get. I think the issue, like, people look at Blizzard and like, oh, that's a cash shop because in order to get the new mount that they come out with every month, you have to buy that. You can't get it anywhere else. You can get this in the game. I got the mount. It took me a while with the PTS server. I just got it a couple days ago. It takes a while, but you can still get it, and I don't really feel any different now that I have it. In fact, it's kind of a pain in the ass because the stamina on the horse lasts just as long as my normal stamina, and I don't feel like I'm running any faster. It's annoying. But
damn you, ZeniMax, you can't make any of us happy.
But it's a 50% speed increase, correct?
15. That's the base.
15. Oh god.
Yeah, that's like nothing.
What the hell?
Yeah, you gotta feed it if you want a speed increase.
The skills I've got, like the skills a Nightblade can get and the armor you can get, they increase your sprinting faster than horse. There was one point where Garbrak and I were running around on the PTS together, and I was running just as fast, in some cases faster than him, longer periods of time. because my stamina lasted longer. I was like, well, no point in having a horse.
Yeah. Well, Kai, you brought up an interesting topic. You said if you feed it, you can increase the speed of the mount, right? And mm-hmm. I mean, that was brought up as well, is the fact that, oh, that's how it's pay to win, because people will be able to get this horse before other people, because people that want to try to accumulate the gold to buy the in-game one versus the people who spend the $5 or $3 or whatever it is, have that those extra days to increase the speed of their mount. Now, that's the argument that a lot of people are using as well, is, oh, that's pay to win. I mean, this person has the advantage over the other person. But is that really an advantage when there's still a cap? Like, what do you guys... Like, I don't understand that.
No, I mean, it's going to give you a couple extra days to feed your horse. You know, getting it early, too. No, I mean, I'm just on the boat of it's no advantage. It's just one thing that the internet trolls can come out and complain about because you have to pay for something you're already paying for. And I do understand that to an extent. But it's really, it's not an advantage. Holy cow.
What about you, Kyan? Is those added days any way of an advantage?
I think the added days that you get for the 5-day early access is more of an advantage than a measly 15% speed increase. And anybody that's played the beta knows that you can't run around mobs anyway. You're gonna even if you're running down straight down a road, you're gonna get attacked by mobs. There's gonna be like some, I don't know, some Daedric thing that'll come and hit you in the back of the head and knock you off your mount and kill you anyway if you're not paying attention. I don't know. This is just a classic case of people on the internet whining. They're not getting what they expected to get because Elder Scrolls Online is doing things a lot differently than other MMOs, and people don't like different things. They like their little confined boxes, and if you crush in one of the corners, they just go freaking crazy.
Another thing, too, when I'm on my horse, I'm riding from point A to point B. Like, I'm going there. I have a purpose. But when I'm out running, like, I'm exploring and I'm gaining experience and I'm doing other things. And it's almost a disadvantage to some players if they haven't if they haven't been playing the beta and they go and get this horse and then they're missing out on a lot of the game because they're just going from here to here and they're not enjoying everything that ESO has to offer. And one of the biggest things is exploration and being able to just walk around, and everywhere you go gives you some kind of perk. And if you have a horse, you're more inclined just to go, oh, well, there's a little spot on the minimap. Let me just run straight there. Yeah. I think that could happen to some people. So it could almost be a disadvantage. You're paying for a disadvantage if you want to get crazy with it.
You know, those 5 days, yeah, those are nice. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I think it's more – those 5 days, yeah, they give us that boost. But those are 5 days you get ahead of everything that's going to break potentially. I mean, in the article that we're going to talk about later, there's a lot of promises that say this won't break, that won't break. But when we get there, we'll get there. But those 5 days allow those people to, you know, get to level 15 and get out the first zone so they can get ahead of all the things that are going to be bugged and breaking and everything. So, you know, there is an advantage in the sense of you won't get stuck behind the quest. You won't be limited to a zone because you can't complete a major to medium arc like Camlorn or the Weird Tree, you know, things like that. You won't get stuck in that zone because you can't complete that quest line. So I think there is an advantage, but not enough to, you know, shout Bloody Mary or whatever.
So is there anything that you guys could think of that would be construed as a pay gate or a pay-to-win item that might come out on the Kyle shop that you can think of that isn't like, hey, you spend $5 and get this awesome-ass weapon?
I mean, I can't foresee them really doing anything like that. I mean, I know Rift has done that where you can just buy the little coins and just buy leveled up gear, but I don't foresee that a subscription game ever doing that, especially not this one. No.
What about, they brought it up in chat, what about like experience boosters? Like, what do you guys think about those?
There's weapons out there that give you experience boost. Why would they put that in the cash shop? I mean, they're the first bow you get in beta, at least. Coming right out of Cold Harbor, you got, you know, an increase in bow experience. So I don't understand if it's, you know, base level, whoop-de-doo. But at the same time, at the same time, you've got Sky Shards you can go collect, level up the boosted experience that you get from a bow. So I don't see why they would implement an EXP boost unless it was like 120% or something like that, which seems ridiculous.
Yeah,
I gotta go to Kai. He's over there shaking his head.
Oh, I can't get out of my head. Like, all these people are complaining. I go to like the MMO champion forums for World of Warcraft, and everybody's like, "Oh, $60 level 90s. That's awesome. So thank you, Blizzard. Thank you for letting us skip everything in game that's leveling, and now we can just raid." Now, and nobody's complaining about that. I get on the forums. I'm there, like, "Don't you guys have a problem with this? Isn't this kind of like pay to win?" Well, no. But add a 15% amount to a cash app, it's probably going to be $10 or $15. And oh my god, you know, watch the other community just flip out and cry bloody murder. It's just, my mind keeps reverting to that. Just like, okay, so literally, you're paying to get ahead of everybody and just skip the entire game up to that point. But this, which is going to just make you run around the world a little bit quicker, which you can't really skip zones like you can in World of Warcraft. You can't fly over hills and stuff. You know, each zone is phased, and you have to go through a little gateway, and it zones you in and zones you out. I don't know. It's people.
Oh, I'm getting a headache.
Yeah, it's. Let me put it this way: if you have a problem with a current MMO having a vanity cash shop where you can get mounts or you can get vanity items, you're not going to want to play MMOs, because this isn't the year 2000 where there's not cash shops. There, every single modern MMO has one. If you have a problem with that, this probably isn't going to be the game for you.
You saying that, I just had to post that that Carp put on the forums about how that what you just said, level boosting, is a terrible idea. Everyone needs to click that when the podcast is over or right now and open up in a separate tab, because it's hilarious.
All right, that's all I got. So on the topic of like leveling and everything like that, another interesting topic came up on the forums, and well, not specifically our forums, but within the community, is crafting and how it kind of works with leveling, and if you're going to spend your points on crafting or spend them on leveling, or vice, or as one, or have an alt that's dedicated to crafting. I mean, I think we decided there was about 300, roughly 300 skill points, correct?
Yeah, something like that.
Give or take a few.
Sure.
So we'll say approximately 300. What do you guys think? If somebody wanted to play a dedicated crafter, would they be gimping themselves or putting themselves in a vulnerable state in terms of like combat PvP or PvE? What do you think, Kai?
I think that there's so many points out there that you're going to be looking for places to put them into anyway. And if I remember right, it was more like something ridiculously over 300. It was like 360 or 380. I could be completely wrong. But you're basically going to be throwing points at everything. You're going to be going, okay, well, I'm wearing light armor, but I might wear heavy armor at some point, so let me put some points in there too. So I don't know. I think from the question and answer that we had with Paul Sage and the crafting, it sounds like you're basically going to, if you're a min-max kind of person, you're probably going to want to focus on just two professions. But there's going to be enough skill points there where there's only so many points you can spend on certain things, unless you're going to be trying to be like a jack of all trades. Like, I'm going to go into Sorcerer and I'm going to get everything in Daedric Summoning and Dark Magic and Storm Calling, and to hell with all of you and whatever I want to do at the moment, I'm going to be a spastic and I can't decide anything. Then it's going to affect you. I think for the normal people out there, which I don't know how many normal people there are, but
it might be one.
Maybe. We're still looking, but it might be out there.
Yeah. People are people in the end, you know. I think it'll be fine.
What about you, Jane? What do you think on the whole crafting as a one player or having an alt dedicated to it?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of agreeing with Kine here. You're gonna want to just it's gonna be so hard to do more than just one or two crafting professions, especially like as I'm playing my character, I'm I'm trying to venture off into two separate weapon skills, and even that's hard to just have two weapon skills and then add on top of it two crafting skills as I'm leveling, and I don't have access to a whole lot of these skill points. It's really tough. So you kind of have to determine, like, am I going to want it? It's really hard to be a jack of all trades as you're leveling. You kind of have to say, well, I'm really just going to go down one weapon path and one playstyle path, and I'm going to focus on, and I'm going to have crafting it as well. Or you're going to have to say, I'm going to push all my points into crafting, and then I'm just going to try and group up with my buddies so I can get experience and level up. I think that it's probably going to be more beneficial if you want to master all your crafting to have an alt that is strictly crafting, because it's going to be so hard to do all of those at once while you're leveling. Once you're level 50 or veteran ranks and you got all those skill points, then you can go back and you can mess around. But as you're leveling, it's gonna be difficult. You're gonna have to make some hard decisions, which sounds really weird because it's just a game. But you're gonna have to make these like decisions. Every skill point is gonna mean something, and that's what I like about this game too. Every skill point really does mean something, and you have to make that crucial decision at that time. But it's gonna be tough.
What about you, Les?
Well, I was going through, and it's 137 skill points to max out crafting. I had to do this real quick to just verify how many that were. It's 137 skill points total, and there's about 300. So if you really, 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 really wanted to, you could do just one character, and you would still have the benefits of everything. But if you want to, have money, have one specific level 50 that can go out, farm these things, you'd still be making a level 50 that can do everything that your first character can do. I don't see the point in having an alternate character, because I mean, maybe for the bag space, but aside from that, your main is going to be able to max out crafting if you really wanted to. I'm really torn on the subject, because I would probably make an alt to do it. I personally would probably make an alt to do it.
Yeah, see, I'm on the boat of having an alt as well, not because of the skill shards or the skill points, but more so for the time investment. I mean, you got to think of all the traits that you have to research and how long each one takes. I mean, leveling up, I'll probably dedicate my one character to enchanting, but I might have another character that does different types of like armor smithing, like either maybe armor smithing, and then have another one for weapon smithing. Only because of how much time is involved into researching those traits. I mean, if you want to do that all in one character, you're looking at years of time. I mean, because it's like 6 hours for the first level trait, and then it goes to 12 hours in the second level trait, and then 24 hours. I mean, that's a lot of time, and that's only three traits.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be turned down a bit. I don't think they're going to keep it that way as soon as the game launches. I mean, they're pretty adamant about it, but I think, they might cut it down to 3 hours, 6 hours, 12, 24,
I hope not. I hope not. Because that just gives it that grindy feel that you just log on and you can just throw your mats and you can just hit, make 20 of this stack and wait till it turns gray and then do something else. I hope that they keep with it, because it gives you a sense of completion. When I log on and I see that my trait is researched, like, that's cool. That's fun.
I mean, think about it when you finally do master it. Think of how much pride you would have in that. I mean, if you look at it and be like, "Wow, look how much time I just wasted doing this." I mean, yeah, I can understand that. But for me, when I play an MMO, I want to make sure my time is, I don't want to say well invested, because I mean, it is a video game. I could put my time elsewhere, but I want to feel rewarded. And after 24 hours, I log in and be like, hey, that's cool. I get this, like Chain said, a sense of accomplishment. I mean, it's it's a time sink, and MMOs need that. If you look back at MMOs that have failed, they didn't have the time sinks that, for example, World of Warcraft has. I mean, World of Warcraft has probably some of the worst and horribly designed time sinks, but that's what people enjoy, because it gives them that sense of pride. Hey, you know what? I just burned 24 hours, but look at what I got from it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also like how it doesn't seem like it might change this in the future, but just looking at like the future maps that it requires, it doesn't look like in order to become a master crafter, you're going to have to be in a super progressive raid guild. Like in WoW, like if you wanted to craft really good items, like you had to raid and you had to get whatever dropped off the bosses and put them in your crafting. Like it doesn't seem like you have to do that for this. It's really just devoted to dedication. And if you've put your work in and if you've tried and if you really like crafting, you're going to get the results that it would have taken you, you know, in another MMO to venture off and do stuff that you don't necessarily want to do. So I like that. It's definitely geared towards just I want to be a crafter, and you can totally just do that. So that's, I like that. That's cool.
You know, they're definitely forcing team crafting here, because Galetta just posted something in chat. Galetta posted something in chat. Takes 1,530 hours to get a single trait to get all the traits for a single skill, a single item. So, you know, that much time for that one item. So, you know, you just spent 1,530 hours on a chess piece. All right, time to move on, guys. And that's a lot of time. And I think they're going to, you know, either change it or they're going to find a way to enforce teamwork and crafting, because the way it looks right now is, you know, each person's in a guild's going to be like, okay, I'm going to research that trait. And then the next person's going to be like that trait on each item. So everyone has, you know, if they're that into the game, but the ability to complete, you know, or master a single crafting line is going to be really, really impossible.
Yeah. And it really is. I watched one of the videos, Paul Sage was saying, like, you're really going to have to find that crafter and rely on that crafter if you want a specific item. And it's so true, because if it takes 2 months to master one skill, you know, one item, what are the odds that more than 20 people at one time are going to be online that can do what you want them to do, you know? So it gives a sense of alliance. I like that. That's a good point.
All right, so I just had to do some quick math. It's 63 days.
Yeah.
63 days.
0.7.
Yeah, isn't it?
One skill.
Doesn't it get maxed out at some point? Like at 60 hours or something like that? I don't know. Or does it just keep going up in time?
Well, I was just doing it by the 50, 15, 30, whatever Galetta said. And I mean, Galetta's our crafting leader. The guy lives and breathes crafting in this game. It's kind of freaky. But I mean, if his numbers are accurate, that's 63 days of crafting in one skill tree. That's a lot of time. And I mean, in honesty, I hope they don't change it. Yeah. I honestly hope they don't. I mean, 2 months worth of time investment is, I think, worthwhile. Kyne, you've been quiet through all this and just shaking your head, nodding. What's your
opinion? I agree.
That's it. We got an I agree. Man of little words there.
Like it. It's a strong silent type.
I don't know. I'm not a huge crafter, so that's why I'm kind of going, crafting's like the one thing in the game I really haven't been focused on, because I'm just not a huge crafter in most games. And maybe that's because all the crafting in most of the games MMOs I've played is just terrible. I don't know, because World of Warcraft, it just felt like a complete grind fest where I was like, oh, go, you know, fly around on my mount and land and chop, 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 and I'll fly my mount and chop, 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 and just farm, 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 and spend hours doing it. No, thank you. Not my cup of tea, but yeah, so it seems a little bit different. I just haven't focused on it in the beta, because I just don't have quite as much free time trying to keep up with you guys, and I still don't keep up.
Oh, you don't have 1,530 hours just lying around?
No.
Oh, man.
Can we talk about what crafting you think is going to make the most profit for a single person? Because, I mean, we're on the subject, and I don't mean to, you know, veer off here, but, you know, people were talking about crafting, you know, and how long it's going to take. What do you think is going to be the most successful economically?
I honestly don't think there's going to be one that's better than the others. And that's because crafting as a whole is the best option for all gear. So, I mean, food's going to obviously be a really good starter. You're going to want it for raids and PvP. But you're going to need your blacksmith. You're going to need your people to do your bows, your staffs, your cloth. So I don't think there's going to be one specific type. If you want to talk about quantity, I would say food, because you're going to run through food faster than you're going to run through armor. So I would say food's the best.
That's totally what I was thinking too, was that, you know, provisioning.
But provisioning's different though, right? Because you don't have to research. That's more like the classic grind, you know, grind craft that everyone will pretty much be able to do. You have to put more points into the skill itself in order to be able to craft those higher end crafts. Mm-hmm. But I think that So you're so it could be people that just don't feel like putting points into provisioning, but it, I mean, they should, because it's the easiest one to do. You can just grind that shit out. That's what I'm going to do.
From what I saw, provisioning seemed to be the most tedious too. Paul Sage actually answered this question on our forums when he was back there a little bit ago. I don't know if you guys saw that post that he had. He basically answered that he thinks that the crafting things like blacksmithing and any item creation is going to be probably the most valuable at low level when the game first launches. And then he said alchemy and provisioning for the end game, because they're consumables. You go through them and you need a constant supply of them to either do high-end PvP or high-end PvE. Whereas with a piece of gear, you get it, you're done for a while. You know, it's a supply and demand is what it comes down to.
That's a good point. And I like how I'm provisioning it lasts through death. I just want to throw that out there. I think that's really handy, because I was dying a lot when I was playing.
And I didn't have to keep eating this game, by the way.
Yeah. Didn't have to keep eating my bug juice or whatever it was I made. So that's
bug juice. Yeah, some of those items, you know, that you can get, those, some of those recipes you can get right from the start are incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, 5 to max health, or like 5 to health right off the bat after eating it for like an hour and a half, 45 minutes, and that's just right out of coming out of Cold Harbor with 2. So you're looking at some good buffs there right from the start.
Yeah,
you should spend all your time in Cold Harbor looting every one of those urns and chests, because they got a whole bunch of recipes in them. So that's a good way to get started.
Kind Death brought up an interesting topic, since we're actually going to talk about crafting and kind of broaden that subject a little bit. But Kind Death was saying that the ESO crafting might not be like the other kind of MMOs that he's done crafting in, where it feels like a grind. I mean, you got to go out, you got to mine your ore and stuff like that. And I kind of have to agree with him that Elder Scrolls doesn't feel like that. I mean, because you're out exploring, doing your quests, doing your regular stuff, and you just come across this stuff naturally, or at least that's how it feels. And you're compelled to go over there and chop some wood, pick up the iron, or pick up the runes or whatever. And then you're like, hey, you know what? Let's go to a table and see what I can do with this stuff. It just feels more... I have no word. It just feels better. Like, I know that's...
Some of it's natural.
Natural, I guess. But...
Yeah, organic, that's a good word. Organic. There's your SAT word.
Edumacated.
But what do you guys think? Like, am I completely wrong on that? Or am I just talking up my arse?
Well, I agree, but I just went on a spiel for that. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I like, I mean, that's the best way to describe it. It is organic. Like, I liked, like, the first time I saw a log, I just went over to it and I started hacking it, you know, and I was like, oh, cool, I have this. What can I do with this? And I didn't have to train in a skill. I could just go to a bench and see what you're at, like, see what you can do with it. And that's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. It is. It's organic. That's good. Good word.
Organic. I like that word. Maybe, let's see if we can use that word in our next discussion here.
Probably not.
Word of the week. It's going to be the episode title.
Yeah. So the next thing we should talk about, or we're going to talk about, is what Matt Farrow released. He brought an interesting The Road Ahead article discussing what he foresees Elder Scrolls to be doing. So what do you guys think of that? Let's start off with Kine. Kine, did you get a chance to read that?
I did. I kind of skimmed over it, but I'm sure once you hit some of the high points, then I'll remember and go, oh, yeah. But as of right now, I don't remember because I've been panicking and throwing together a build while you guys have been talking.
All right, so let's go to Laz then. Laz, what do you think of Matt Farrow's statement to the community?
There's a lot of promises in this road ahead. There are a lot of promises, and I'm a little worried that they're not going to be able to keep them. You know, he's talking about right from launch, we want to be able to have you log in right away. We want you to be able to get in the game, run around, have no latency issues. They plan on having these backup servers, and they are very, very confident in promising that you won't have a single problem coming into the game. And that, you know, if anyone's paying attention to this article or this podcast, you know, they're going to be like, wait a second, I need to go look at this now. And they see that and they're like, okay, what the hell, guys? You made a promise. You couldn't keep it. And it's just going to reflect bad. So I think the fact that they've got so many, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think, you know, it's great that they're so ambitious about this, that they're making these kinds of promises at the same time. You know, you got to set your limits. I think, I'm just a little sketchy, you know, about the promises that they're making here for these new players coming in. You know, people that have never played an MMO. We've seen a couple people, you know, hop on the forums and be like, "Hey, I've never played an MMO," and they're one, the first one's going to be a, you know, a major title, in my opinion. And coming out of ZeniMax Online Studios, being an Elder Scrolls game, it's got some weight to it. They've never played an MMO, but they probably played Skyrim and are probably expecting that same kind of feeling. And when they get in, they're not able to play. They're going to be incredibly pissed off.
Yeah, I want to jump on kind of that this overflow server. How do you guys feel about that? Because I'm kind of mixed. Like, I know they're trying to alleviate some of the queue, and they're going to throw you in the server that you don't have a friends list. You can't go to PvP, but you're not going to know when the normal server's in. You can log out and then log back in, and then if there's room, it'll put you back in the server. I don't know if I like that. I'd rather almost have the queue so I could then go in and play the game to the fullest, as opposed to being thrown in kind of like a single-player MMO server situation. I'm like mixed up on that. It gets you in the game, but it doesn't get you in the game to what you really want to be in the game for. So I'm torn. What do you guys think?
Sorry, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. You know, I think we're looking at a situation similar to Guild Wars 2 in their launch, where they had, you know, the zones by zone, they were in these overflow sections. They said, "Hey, you're sitting in an overflow zone right now." Then it would say, "Hey, you want to load into that not overflow zone?" Because that would be technically its queue. So maybe we're looking at this kind of situation, because they didn't specify. They just said that they've got overflow servers in the event we get even more players on day one than we are now forecasting. And so it doesn't say that these servers are meant to be...
It does.
The character you create and everything gained as you temporarily play on the overflow server will transfer back with you when you log on next time on the main mega server. Okay, so are you playing by yourself? Does it say you are playing by yourself?
I mean, well, it says you can't access your friends list or your guild, and you can't PvP. So I mean that's why I play an MMO, so I can get my friends list, go to my guild, and, you know, not necessarily PvP, but so I can see other people. So I think it's a good idea and concept, but it could be tweaked a little bit.
So do you think that for the overflow server, that's, like I said, going to be a Guild Wars 2 scenario where it's like, "Hey, do you want to hop on the main mega server? You can just hit E or whatever." You think they're going to do that, or it's going to be, "Hey, you got to log back in to do this now"?
Yeah, I don't know. See, it says in the letter, he says you got to log back in, but yeah, no, I don't know. I never played Guild Wars 2, but I mean, that sounds like it would be a good idea.
Yeah.
If it is, like, I mean, I did play Guild Wars 2 at launch, and the overflows were slightly annoying, only because you would see your friends. You couldn't group with your friends or anything like that, because they were either on the main server and you can't get there unless the queue popped. But I was fine with it in the fact that it eventually calmed down. You didn't have to go into the overflow servers as much. But it got people into the game, which is the big thing. And I think a successful launch for ESO will definitely put it in the limelight a little bit more. And I mean, it's going to have a lot of negativities to it as soon as it launches. But if it has a successful launch and doesn't have the SimCity launch or the Diablo 3 launch or the SOTOR launch or the Blizzard WoW launch, if anybody remembers how unbelievably horrible it was a month long. If it has a successful launch with a little bit of downtime, I mean, I'm okay with the overflow, as long as I'm not stuck in overflow for hours upon hours upon hours.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, that's a good point. You're getting into the game. I'm just the most recent game I played was Final Fantasy 14, and that launch was I couldn't play, and I don't want that kind of situation where I can't play at all. But I also maybe I'm just being too needy. Maybe I'm just saying it needs to launch perfectly, or I don't want it to launch at all. But I guess I understand what they're doing. I mean, it is a good idea. You're right. It gets them in the game. I'll agree with you on that.
Well, it says the option, you know, so this might be me inferring from what he says, but highlighted in this paragraph here, if player demand overwhelms our planned capacity and a queue has to be formed, we will offer keyword offer, waiting players the option, another keyword, to begin playing right away on an overflow server. So maybe that implies that you're in a queue right now, or you can go over to this overflow server and play right away if you don't want to wait. You're just not going to have some of the things that are available to the people that are, you know, in the main server. I don't know. I haven't really seen anything done like this before.
Here's another question. What about people like the four of us? Well, I'm pretty sure, I believe we all pre-ordered the Imperial or Standard, I'm pretty sure. Like when it comes down to it, you know, hey, we've got characters already in the main mega server. We're going to have that on these overflow. You know, they're not, I don't know. I don't know what they're planning on that, but I mean, it makes me curious to see. I'm curious about this now, this whole launch scenario they got put up, because I left a lot of questions unanswered.
What I'm confused by, what do you mean we already have characters on
the, like, okay, so we get the 5-day early access.
Oh, I see. So you're saying for actual launch day.
Yeah.
With the rest of the normal nerds.
Because, I mean, you think about it. They said they got 5 million registered people in this last beta. Whether those 5 million people actually access the game, probably not. But a good portion of it, considering how much stuff was broken, probably.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I wonder how many of those, what percentage of that 5 million is gonna stay. I don't know. I hope it's that much. Yeah.
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 Awkward silence.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump into the Pete Hines discussion, because did you guys have a chance to read this?
Yes.
A little.
Just a simple quote about Pete Hines. He was discussing. Someone brought up, and I really hate it when people bring, especially the media, when they bring up the subscription service and then say, "Oh well, SOTOR failed." I mean, they're giving SOTOR way too much credit in the MMO industry just because one single game, the game itself sucked. Not the subscription model. But because that game failed, the subscription model's dead. And I hate it when people bring that up, because it's just not true. But Pete Hines, I think, did an excellent job defending it and gave us a little bit of hint as to what we can expect in terms of content releases. And, I mean, I think that's the key thing right there is, I mean, we're playing a subscription-based game. We have to make sure we have content being given to us. And back in August, I think it was, maybe even earlier, they said they were going to do about 4 to 6 weeks of content release. So that's a boasty goal, but I mean, it'd be great if they did it. So what did you guys think of Pete Hines' discussion?
I liked it. I think people are putting Star Wars and Elder Scrolls in the same category because Star Wars has such a big name, you know, and that's what's annoying about it. It's like, just because you're a Star Wars game doesn't mean you're automatically going to get all these Star Wars fans to enjoy it. The game has to be good in order for it to be a success, and the game was good until you got to level 50 and you couldn't do anything else. But I really liked it. He really defended the subscription model and said, you're going to get so much content that it's going to be unheard of in the MMO realm. You're going to get new stuff on such a frequent base. Even Matt Fieror in his Road Fieror. Matty F. In his letter wrote, we already have the next patch content planned out. We know what we're gonna add. And it gives the idea that hey, you're paying for this and we've got a plan and we're gonna provide you with some stuff that's gonna make the $15 seem absolutely worth it.
I think that's the big thing right there, is what you said, is content and how big the content is. Like, one of the things Pete Hines said is, we're not just going to be doing small patch content. We're going to be doing, like, DLC size content. And, I mean, that's what made me go, yes.
Right.
So okay, you know, they're talking about content releases. And then you look at Matt Fryer's post or letter, and he's saying, you know, right out at launch, we're going to try and get Craglorn to you guys. So, you know, as soon as you hit 50, you're going to have that adventure zone to go do. And then you're looking at, you know, I think people are doubting the subscription model because maybe they're going to make, you got to look back at this cash shop too. You know, they've got this as a backup. You're looking at people wanting to spend money. You know, they're going to make these costumes or these mounts or whatever very desirable in some way or another. So you're looking at, you know, an added revenue, as opposed to just subscription based. So, you know, there's something to be said for the cash shop as well in this. You know, everyone's say a naysayer with cash shop, but at the same time, it's, you're just supporting the game in a different fashion. And as I've told people before, you're basically doing a month-long Kickstarter every month. You're donating 30 cents a day to the game. That's all you're doing. If you were paying the $15 a month as opposed to the year subscription, paying 30 cents a day for a Kickstarter to get, you know, as you said, Garbrecht, DLC-sized content.
50 cents a day.
Oh, is it 50? I keep trying 50. My math, man. Those numbers.
Mathificating.
I'm not good with these things. 50 cents. Yeah.
So what about you, Kind Death? What's your opinion on Pete Hines defending the subscription model?
I think it's kind of ridiculous anybody has to defend it in the first place. You know, I think we live in a little bit of a fast food mentality, quick satisfaction, not wanting to pay for anything society nowadays. And I think that kind of shows when it comes. I mean, really, what can you do for infinite hours for infinite entertainment for $15 a month? I can't even think anything. In the article I wrote for the site like 2 months ago, like I went through some of that. Like, I can't even get popcorn and a soda. Just the popcorn and soda when I'm going to a movie theater, you know, for that amount of money. It's like $16 just for the small size. It's, like, I mean, really $15 a month is not anything. And if anything, these companies have the justification that if they wanted to increase it to 20 or 25, like World of Warcraft, they have legitimate reasons, you know. That $15 model that was implicated, you know, 15 or so years ago with some of the first MMOs like EverQuest and Dark Age of Camelot and stuff like that. Well, there's been a lot of inflation over those last 10 years, you know. Most people would be paying $20 or $25. So basically what you were paying back then for $15 a month would basically be closer to $20 or $25 now. And you don't see them raising the price. They very easily could have. And I think they're going about it the right way with ZeniMaxx, though, because making the leveling process and the exploration take so long, although they're not going to have a raid as soon as it's available, it sounds like they'll have it ready just about the time people are hitting 50 and are geared up, which maybe they've learned the lesson from Star Wars The Old Republic in that sense. And I've said it in one of the past shows again. If you're comparing Star Wars The Old Republic to ESO, just stop it. Don't be dumb. You're being an idiot. I don't care if you people hate me for saying that. It's just not the same. It's apples and oranges. They're way too different games. They play in the MMO genre, but it's still a different genre. You have a different classification of people that are interested in that. Not to mention, Star Wars The Old Republic was a WoW clone in I don't know how many ways. You know, I played it to almost level 50, and it's like, okay, I already have this on this other game I've sunk like infinite hours into. Why continue here? Elder Scrolls is not a WoW clone. So, I don't know. And I guess that's just the gist of my point, and that is having to defend it in the first place is silly. So I think, but with having said that, he did a fairly good job defending that. With now, the only problem with that is, and this is something probably only time will be able to tell, is, you know, Blizzard did the same thing with World of Warcraft, and they promised, oh, more frequent content. Well, now they're looking at doing Siege of Orgrimmar for a year and a half, you know. For the end of this expansion, they said that's never going to happen again, like it did with Icecrown Citadel during Wrath of the Lich King. And they weren't able to live up to their promise. And they're making a lot of money, and they have a huge studio, but Blizzard always takes really long and everything. And something to keep in mind is they did push this game back, you know, guys. This is 3 or 4 months later than they originally intended it to be. So could it be the same case that happened with Blizzard? Just maybe they're promising more than they can deliver? Possibly. But is there going to... The way the game is designed, though, I don't think you're going to have the problem with people having a lack of things to do, especially with a new game.
Yeah, he also went in, I mean, and he was pretty blunt, too, which I liked. He was basically saying, like, you're paying $15 a month so that we can pay people to make you content. Like, if you don't want people to make you content, then go play a free-to-play game. But if you want us to pay people that their job is to make you content for this awesome game we're making, then you're going to have to pay. Like, you know, I think he said a little nicer than that. But it's basically saying, like, if you want to go and play a free-to-play game and bash that and be annoying, go do that. But we're trying to keep those kind of players out, and we're trying to give you high-quality entertainment for a minimal fee of $15. He was truthful. He wasn't trying to hide it, you know, by any way or any means. Yeah. Nothing else? It's like real silent whenever I say stuff.
I got distracted by a Skype message. Oh, I apologize to anybody that's listening. I forgot to put my Skype on D&D. So you're gonna hear it for... Actually, you know what? You're going to see a really messed up stream for a second. I apologize. There you go. All right, stream's back. So Kind Death brought up an interesting subject of the fact that Dark Age of Camelot, he brought that up. Dark Age of Camelot came out in 2001. It's still $15, and people are still paying $15 to play a almost 14-year-old game. I mean, that says something. I mean, it's not a dying thing. I don't understand how people firmly believe that subscription model is dying all based off one game. It's always bugged me that people are, SOTOR died, so subscription models died. No. The game died.
Can I just point something out real quick?
Yeah.
All right. The announcement for subscription came out in what? Last August, September, something like that? Maybe even earlier, July time? Why is this still a subject? Why are people still asking questions about this? Why, you know, it's already been said and done, and, you know, the community has its outrage and its backlash, but now we're back to, you know, we're here at release, you know, why is the discussion for a subscription model still up for debate when you know it's a fresh game coming right out of a studio? I don't understand why people are still talking about this.
Well, I think Kyan hit the nail on the head when he said it's the type of society we live in. We've been coddled with the free-to-play or buy-to-play games that are giving people what they think they want. I mean, Guild Wars 2 is a great game, but the content in it really isn't anything spectacular. It's cool that they release that kind of content very frequently, but it's not anything that's going to keep the player engaged. Neverwinter has great content releases, but again, there's no grab for the player. I log in every 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe, just to see what's new, and I play for a day and I'm like, oh, I'm done. Like, that's not what an MMO is. An MMO is something that is supposed to last a very long time. It's supposed to keep you engaged. And just on the topic of subscriptions, Kyan, again, he brought up that you spend more time in an MMO than you would in a single player game. I wrote an article back in July-ish discussing if ESO is worth the price, and I broke it down. The average game, like, for example, Skyrim takes about, I think it was about 89 hours to beat, like, just the main storyline, and 123 hours for completionist. But it's going to take 150 hours just to do your faction, if you're a casual player. Like, if you just play the game regularly, 150 hours just to do your faction. I mean, that's impressive. Like, is that not worth $15 a month versus paying $60 for a game that you're going to play for less than a week? Like, it's like the whole subscription thing. I don't understand it. I think we beat this dead horse quite a bit.
Yes.
I think when they announced it, everyone pretty much knew it was going to be subscription based.
Yeah.
I mean, was there really any doubt? It wasn't any doubt in my mind. I was like, oh, Elder Scrolls Online, it's going to be subscription based, just like every other MMO ever to come out.
So here's something else I was just thinking about. When we're talking about content release, I know I'm sorry, we are beating this dead horse. When we're talking about content releases, you know, they say as big as these DLCs, you know, these updates are supposed to be DLC size. What's that mean for expansions? What are they going to do expansions, you think? I mean, what are we looking at in terms of, you know, the big, you know, secondary release?
Well, I would assume there's going to be expansions. I mean, expansions are just something that they can use to progress the game. Like, we already know Molag Mal is not going to be defeated. We're going to prolong his plans. We're going to stop this current plan. He's going to come back with other plans. I mean, he's in other games. We can't kill him.
No, yeah. We can't kill him.
We can banish him. We can throw him to oblivion or send him to another plane of existence or whatever. We can't kill him. He will be back. I mean, he's going to be the Ragnaros of Elder Scrolls Online. Like, oh, we killed him.
Yeah.
No, you nope. didn't. I just went home and I'm back again.
I licked my wounds, came back, and got a bigger mace.
Exactly.
Yeah. We need a new raid boss. Hey, let's use one we had 20 years ago.
So yeah, I would definitely say there's going to be expansions. And I foresee the expansions being full, like, almost the entire game again, in sense of area.
No, yeah, I agree.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just like, you know, the content releases. Oh, here's a dungeon. Here's a new raid. Here's this. But like the expansion packs, you know, those are when you get the new races. You get a new complete zone. You get a whole new story arc, and you know, you get other guilds thrown in there. Even though I think guilds might be thrown in to content releases too. You know, there's an obvious difference between this stigma.
Yeah, and that's another key point, though, to the Elder Scrolls Online, is think of expansions. Like, say for example, it's the same thing as World of Warcraft, so they actually develop an entirely new land for you to go to. But you're not just having one storyline in Elder Scrolls Online. You have the Mages Guild, the Fighters Guild storylines, you have the Undaunted storylines, you have why can't I think of the Dark Brotherhood storyline that's coming out? I mean, there's so much more to The Elder Scrolls Online than there is in any other MMO. I mean, show me an MMO that has the storylines that Elder Scrolls have.
You know, I think there's more to Elder Scrolls Online than there has been in any Elder Scrolls game. I mean, yeah, you can get mods, but this content they're coming out with right at launch is just absolutely impressive. I mean, I've never seen an MMO at launch like this. I don't think WoW even had this kind of, you know, content right at launch. It took you forever to get to what level? 50 was the max level, I think, or 60? What was it, 50?
60
at launch, yeah.
Yeah, and it took forever to get there, where, you know, you're looking at this game and you've got veteran rank 10 at level 50. So you're looking at a lot of content instead of, you know, 50 and then world boss, you know, kind of thing, or end game boss. You're looking at adventure zones and all this other stuff. You know, it's not just hitting level 50. It's not all about 50 anymore. It's what can you do 50 plus plus, 50 veteran rank 8, you know, all that. There's got to be stuff for people to do, and I think they've done a fantastic job in implementing it so far.
Mm-hmm. So like I said earlier, I think we've beaten this dead horse to the point where it's like crying. It came back to life. Like
we
gave it life. So let's jump in and start talking about our build of the week.
Yeah.
The glass nice. What is wrong with you, Kine? Why are you laughing?
You're just a funny fellow, Garber.
You're not going to say that we didn't beat that dead horse quite a bit?
No, it's just the way you put it. So hard it came back to life. Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, that made me think of like shock paddles taking it to a horse, you know, for some reason.
let's talk about our build of the week, the glass cannon. It was hard to come up with a glass cannon build. I mean, it wasn't just as easy as building a tank or a DPS or a hybrid. I mean, glass cannon in Elder Scrolls, it's difficult to do because everything is kind of synergized to everything else. Like, you want to make sure everything's working together. So let's start off with Kine, because did you have a chance to build one, Kine?
Of course you'd start with me, but yes, I did. Why have we been doing the podcast, actually? You're an evil, evil man.
Yeah, I know it.
That's why he's been so quiet.
Poor chat. Be prepared to be spammed. Okay. Big old wallow text. Basically, from what you guys are telling about the glass cannon, is I kind of went for destruction staff bow. And my class I picked was Sorcerer, and I picked a High Elf just because of some of the passive skills there. And the whole idea behind this is a lot of those bow abilities don't take magicka. And if you tap yourself out of magicka, basically the whole idea is burn, 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 weapon swap, and then, you know, burn through your stamina. While your stamina is, you know, being burnt, your magicka is regenerating. And so it's just kind of a constant to kind of go with the cannon feel. Some of those innate abilities that go with the bow tree, like Hasty Retreat, increases your move speed by 30% for 2 seconds after activating roll dodge. I thought that's pretty handy too, you know, because obviously if you're glass cannon, you kind of want to try to stay away from things. And a lot of those talent points I took on there increase your range, both for the staff and for the bow. I put a lot of extra skill points into active abilities just because with this kind of build that is kind of focusing on two different weapons and most of those points and active abilities being in the weapons instead of the class tree, I felt like you really have to kind of mix and match it depending on your given encounter. So you kind of notice if you're looking at it for the destruction staff, I have shooting stars set up for that just because it synergizes well with the other mage abilities, kind of like elemental drain, which reduces the target's resistance to fire, frost, and shock by 40%. That's really good if you're sitting back there and doing that. But if you're going to go through and burn out your ultimate and you're going to use shooting star, maybe it's a good time to weapon swap and go to bow and then start burning through that. And then, charging up your power. I think I put a power overload there. I think that's under storm calling for sorcerer. And I have mage's wrath in both of them just in case, you kind of want to have, I'm predicting anyway, you're going to kind of want to have one ability and each of those weapon swaps that's the same, just so you have a little bit. There's a lot going on there, and I didn't really overthink the build too much because obviously I've done it in the last 30 minutes. So,
no, it sounds viable. I mean, you kind of went the same build. I have a feeling we all kind of went the same area for most of it. So let's jump the chain and see what he says.
All right. Yeah. I very similar. Here's mine. I think that's mine. I might have just pasted his again. Not
we got the same one.
I went with two destruction staffs. Now that ESO head, you can do both hot bars. It's awesome. So I really like that. And I just went straight down the line with all offensive abilities. One thing that I did like, though, was that's a little bit different than Kynes. I'm just looking at him here. Is I used Equilibrium, which it says it trades 0 health for 6 Magicka, but I don't think that's true. Obviously, the numbers are wrong. So it was kind of like if you're running low on Magicka, just kill yourself and just increase your Magicka back up. So a lot of the stuff is just really trying to get you mana. And I really literally just went down the line and I took every offensive skill. It's really just kind of like a brain dead build, but I think it works enough that I like it. And then when you switch to your second hotbar, it's all your defensive skills. So if you're like, oh crap, I'm dying, you can throw up your harness magicka, give you damage shields, and your elemental susceptibility, just to add some debuffs and things like that. There's no sense of survivability. It's all about just dealing damage and hoping that everyone is healing you. And really, I think that I think it would be fun to play a character like this. I don't know how practical it would be, but if you were with like a good group of guys and you trusted your healer and you trust your tank, then you could just go in with a build like this and just decimate everyone. And it would just be so much fun just to watch your damage points just go through the roof and as long as you just don't get hit, you're like golden. So that's it. Really just built like a fun build that I would like to try out.
Mm-hmm. I definitely want to try these builds and jump in there and see what they're like.
Yeah. I want to just point something out because it's been said in chat, is weapon swapping does not take that long in this game, you guys. It's not, you're going to be weapon swapping during combat in PvE encounters. It will happen.
Yeah, it's almost instant. Like, I mean, it's like 1 or 2 seconds, if that.
Yeah, I think it's like 1.5 seconds or something, yeah. It's something really short.
Yeah, so, and let me just jump on that. Like, with the weapon swap thing, like on my DK, I have like a hot bar of mostly like buffs and things like that. And I switch out and I'll throw on my like damage increaser or my armor increaser and I'll switch back to my main offensive hot bar and use it like that. Like, you can use it. Awesome. Like Kynes just said, you can switch in and out, and I think that's really what it's designed for. But anyway. Who's next?
Alright. I guess, yeah, Garb is typing.
Yeah, sorry.
So, here's my build. It's literally straight down the middle, just like yours is Chainsaw. It's really dumb and basic. Like, this is what you, like, this is what I would do it. I'm no kidding. Like, this is what I would do if I was making a glass cannon. Because when you're putting stat points in, this is... Okay, let me explain the theory behind this. What you want is as much regeneration of magicka as possible. You're going to want to be able to regenerate all that magicka as quick as possible when you weapon swap. So you want to have the traits and the enchants that'll give you that as give you that capability. And then when you switch back to your weapon, you're just going to burn them. You're going to burn them as quick as possible, swap back, and do it again. You're going to have as little stamina as possible, and as no health. I wouldn't put any stats in health at all in this case. Because this is like, it's a glass cannon. He's not meant to be defensive at all. It's meant to burn all the time, 24/7. It's a straight burn build. It's as basic as it can get, right down the middle on offensive, very little defensive, and a little bit of a risk taker with the streak. You teleport in and you do 16 shock, but you disorient all the enemies around it for 2 seconds, so you might be able to roll out back out in time. But the stats, leads me back to the stats, where if you, I think what we figure out was like every 5 stats of Magicka, you get increase in magic damage or something like that. Was that what we discovered? Is that anybody?
Sorry, what was that?
The 5 stats in the Magicka or 7 stats in the Magicka. What was it that we found out where you got damage increase on your magic?
It kind of equates to about 15 points of Magicka equals 1 added damage, but that's a very rough estimate, because the way the formula works, it incorporates your over your total Magicka into the formula, so it's hard to give you an exact number.
Okay, so it burn. You want to burn as quick as possible with this character, and then swap back and forth to get that regeneration going. It's not meant to last. It will die very quick, very 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 quick, because it's a light armor build as well. So
yeah, I think I would die a lot with your build.
Yep, you would. You would. You would have to. This is a team. This is a party build. Like, this guy stands way the hell back and does as much damage as possible. He's not going to be anywhere near the fight.
Be interesting to try though. I went completely different than I think most of you guys.
Nice.
let me link it here. See, I suck at DPS, like pure DPS, so I don't even know if mine's even viable. But I went with a sorcerer as well. I went with a high elf. Destruction staff and two-handed weapon with the swap. So his armor is 5 pieces of medium, and the rest is light, so he gets the bonus for Magicka and the regens. The first bit, like the first, your first action bar is basically the initiation. It's how you start your fight. So you're going to start off with all your ranged attacks and burn all that Magicka as fast as you can. Pop that ultimate. With it being the Atronach. So by the time the guy comes to you, because my plan was, as soon as you start hitting the guy, he's going to turn around and try and kick your ass. So as soon as he comes to you, drop your Atronach and swap weapons. And now this is where you pop into Werewolf Berserker, and you just rip him to shreds. So you with Werewolf Berserker, you increase your magical health and stamina, I believe, by 20%? Yeah. So by 20%. And increases your weapon damage by 18, so all your light and heavy attacks are increased. On top of all the medium armor buffs. With the ultimate of Aggressive Horn, increases your Magicka and stamina of nearby allies by 20%, and weapon damage by an additional 18. I'm totally reading the wrong stats. Whoops. Oh well. You get the best. I got a loot in there as well, so player gains 15% dodge. If the guy's hitting you, I mean, this is a glass cannon build. You want to make sure you're trying to not get hit. Dizzying Swing, which is going to keep them stunned and knocked back. I mean, it's only 4 meters, so he's still going to be within the Atronach circle. Critical Rush, so when you knock him back, you rush him, and it deals extra damage based on how far away you are. And Forward Momentum is just it removes the snare and increases your weapon damage by 10%, so you actually open with that. But yeah, my build was essentially start off with range and then switch to melee and just hopefully rip them to shreds using the werewolf buff.
Now, I mean, when you transform to werewolf, can you still use all of those skills, or is it like...
I'm under the assumption the only thing that changes is the right and left clicks. Because I haven't had the opportunity to switch to a werewolf. A vampire, yes. Werewolf, no.
Interesting. Because if you could maintain being a werewolf and then still use all of your other skills, that would be badass. But I feel like it's going to be like Skyrim, you know?
Because when I looked into the werewolf tree, I didn't see any other active abilities. Just the three that you can purchase. So I was under the assumption when you switched, it was your heavy and normal attacks is what changed.
Yeah.
Offering the bleeds.
Yeah, I don't know. Because that's sweet. Somebody just said, when switching to werewolf, your skill bar changes.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure it does. I think it gives you like a set werewolf set abilities, because I think I saw somebody streaming that. It was like level 50.
Yeah, like I said, I've never been a werewolf, and that's the only thing I haven't been yet. So I was under the assumption it stayed. Well, my build sucks, so don't use my build. you'll die.
You might not.
My build sucks. Let's don't even try my build. I'm just gonna delete that part from the podcast.
Then he's gonna go make it, guys. He's gonna be like, "Oh my god, this build's awesome!" And we're not gonna know what it is. He's just
Garbrick totally just trolling chat. He's like, "This is the best build. You need to try."
People like my Templar build. I don't understand that. Like, they're like, "Oh my god, it's so awesome!" And I'm like, "I just picked stuff at random and thought it was good, but, and it turned out to be really good."
Maybe it's the armor that you've got on. Then armor is a very And whatever, dude, you're doing hits like crazy.
Robe.
Yeah. You're able to kill shit quick. I don't know what to tell you.
I see dead garbs. You see a lot of dead garbs in that build. All right, so let's jump into... I don't think we have anything else to talk about on the builds. Do you guys want to discuss any more on the builds?
I wanted to... I think I was the only one that picked anything like another or kind of a ranged idea by picking bows, aren't I? From looking at your guys' builds, or did I miss something? So, Lance and Chainsaw both went Magicka. Yeah. What do you guys think? Now, I don't know. I haven't tried weapon swapping this way yet, so I don't know. But if you weapon swap, do you automatically like lose or your Magicka or your stamina? Because that would kind of screw my build over too.
Screw everyone's build.
No, it's not like when you switch talents, like you lost everything. You just switch, like your dude just puts his sword away and grabs another sword, and like you're like good to go.
So this might be viable then, by putting, you know, burning Magicka, you know, and then switching over to stamina, and then burning that, and while your Magicka regenerates, then so it's kind of like going back and forth like such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing is when you do with separate, I'm not knocking it or anything like that, but you just got to be aware that if you have a weapon that's a bow, you're going to be using stamina as your main source of damage, as opposed to your staff. So you'd have to find a sweet spot between giving him stamina, max the stamina and Magicka. Because the only thing because you can't change your equipment, you can only change your weapon.
Right.
But, so.
I like the idea, though, that you would burn one resource, switch to another resource. You basically essentially have endless DPS if you keep doing it. I mean, it's like the Mage's Arcane build. It's a four-button build, and all you do is kill shit. So yeah, I like that a concept. It's just like he said, you have to try and find that happy medium in between. You're gonna go wash your wrist now, right? We all saw you wipe your nose on your wrist.
Oh yeah. it was an itch. I wasn't eating it like other people.
We're licking it. Ah. so let's jump into the Q&A. We got about 30 seconds behind, so let's talk really slowly. Q&A topic is going to be guilds, so guild features and stuff like that, and the level 20 to 30 content. And while we're waiting for the chat to pick up, we do have a giveaway to do. We have an Imperial edition. It was donated to us.
Same person that's anonymous?
The anonymous donator donated the Imperial edition once again, yes. To give away specifically at the podcast. So to the anonymous donor, I want to say thank you again for your generous donations. And I can tell you the community loves you.
Laz loves you.
Laz loves everybody.
I love Laz. Wait. I love
Laz.
I love me. I love me. Yeah. For a second. Everyone loves Laz, though. Everyone in chat will be like, oh, yeah. But now I said that, they're going to be like, man, fuck you, Laz. I'm like, thanks, guys, for having my back. Oh, by the way, guys, I am using Question Grabber, though you're not going to see this because we're totally far behind now. To get your question notified to me, or I don't know if anyone else has their open, use capital Q and a colon, which is the two dots on top of each other, or lowercase q colon, which is the two dots on top of each other. Gotta do the...
explain what a colon is?
Dude, some people were using semicolons last week. I was like, that's not a colon. I don't even understand this. Anyways.
All these colons see, making gesticulations right here, like this.
Kalika, 31, Q colon. I'll read it anyway. Q semicolon. Q semicolon. What do you think about the new bank log feature? Now you can see who withdraws and deposits in real time. I don't have to walk to my guild bank to see what the hell's going on.
What do you guys think of that? So now you can see it in your guild window instead of having to go there.
Yeah, it's incredibly useful, so you can watch people as they steal all your stuff.
And then you can just type /report, guys, my shit's getting stolen.
Yeah, as we speak.
And you're just watching it as we stream it. We'll be sitting there streaming it. It'll be like, oh, shit.
It's funny. Chain was like, my shit's getting stolen. And then Kind Def's just smiling. He's like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Somebody's got to be that guy. Why not me?
There's another semicolon.
I just saw it. How fun is this game for you guys? That's not part of the question of the week.
Well, I'm still going to answer it. It's awesome. How fun is it for you? We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't find it to be awesome.
Calm down on the
fanboy.
Well,
I might be. I know.
Calm down.
I got nothing.
I hate this game. Garbrick is chaining me in a room downstairs.
All right, oh man, what a weird way for his cam to freeze.
I know, right? When it comes to guild rankings, how many areas available for are the four basic ones the most you can make? What?
Yeah, it's just the four right now. I really hope they change that. Yeah, because that's not helpful by any means.
No, I've never seen a guild operated with four ranks. Like,
yeah.
We need more ranks. And we need more permissions. We need to be able to set a lot more permissions. And obviously guild gold storage.
Alright. I didn't see any way to send message by email to all the people on guild. Did you guys check that? What?
No, you can't send messages. You can't send mass messages to your guild. Which,
calendar invites?
Which, I mean, WoW had that, but when you have a guild of like over 150 people, you had to sit in your mailbox for like an hour as it sent it.
Yeah.
With multiple guilds and no way to know everyone in large guilds, how do y'all feel that half of your login info is posted in every guild and friends contacts list? It's a risky guy to take.
It's just the username. Well, I mean, make sure you have a secure password.
Yeah.
They'll probably come out with some sort of, you know, keychain whatever for people who are paranoid.
Well, Elder Scrolls has a really interesting security mechanic. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but it's the same as what Steam uses. If someone tries to log in with your Steam account, it says, hey, this isn't your computer. What's the 4-digit code that we just sent to your email?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
Don't use the same password as your email.
Yeah. It's true. You should never use the same password as your email.
Okay, guys, we've got a lot of questions coming in now.
All right.
As a tanking Dragonite, do you guys think the second skill line when tanking, I should use one bar on the weapon swap for group buffs from Earthen Power, and then obviously my defense? It's not really, I don't know, that's really interesting. Sorry. And then obviously my offensive, defensive tank skills as my primary bar, and do that first as opposed to going for a DPS build.
That doesn't have anything to do with guilds or
that's
not.
23 content.
Weren't you able to tell that from the very beginning?
Yeah, no, I thought I finished asking it because the question
it took him 20
was not really a question, it was more of a statement anyways.
Actually missed BM Cowman though, Lance.
I gotta ask this because this is going to work. Garb, what color panties you got on from Warpath 1981?
They're black and green with little alien things on them.
That's cool.
You missed BM Kalman, Lance.
I did? Who?
It's the pink font, or purple font. It says, being able to join up to 5 guilds, do you think most people will keep a guild slot available for personal guild so you can have 500 blank slots available for yourself?
You can have 500 people in a guild.
No, because you have to have 10 people in order for your bank to work. So you can't just have your own personal guild with 500 bank slots. You have to have 10 people in that guild. So if 10 of your buddies, if you trust 10 of your friends to have a mutual bank, then yeah, you can do that. But otherwise, it won't work like that.
It's true.
Okay, so this has to do with, I guess, you know, 20, 30 level content, kind of. It's PvP. Do you guys want to discuss this question? I mean, it could fall under that.
Yeah, what's
apparently, people just don't care that much about guilds.
Yeah. Right. Is anyone else frustrated?
Level 20 or 30 content.
I know, right? Is anyone else frustrated that there are no targeted heals, especially for PvP? I see people in front of me dying, try to heal them, and the heal goes to a guy coming up from behind me that is at full health and receive the heal. Everyone else can choose who they are DPSing, and healers can't choose who they are healing. Do you think this will change?
Well, even if you could choose who you're healing, it's still an AoE heal. I mean,
yeah.
Then you're talking about changing the way the healing system works, and you try targeting somebody in the middle of a fight. You just can't do it in first person, or with the type of reticle system that's in Elder Scrolls. You couldn't do it.
I played a healer in Terra, and it was pretty hard to do that because they have the same targeting system, and they had target heals, and you have to like select them, and then it would lock on, and then you could do it. But it is. It's difficult. So I like what they're doing, making all the heals AoE. I think, yeah, it needs to be a little bit smarter, maybe. They could probably make a smarter heal. But I think it works pretty good because I don't like a target heal with a reticle-type targeting system.
I would like to see more direct heals, though. So instead of everything being haunted, I would like to see some more instant heals because that's probably the biggest complaint I have as playing a healer is you'll be spamming your heal button, go, why are you not going up? And you're realizing it's all hot.
So here's a question I got for you guys. I'm going to interject on here because a lot of these questions have nothing to do with the 20 to 30 content, but I've got a question for you guys. Actually, it's not that big of a question. What was your favorite part of the 20 to 30 content that you were able to access on the PTS so far? Like there were, I mean, it's not, you can't do much, but from what you were able to do in, what is that zone called? I always forget that zone. The one after Glenumbra.
Shit. Stormhaven.
Stormhaven.
Yeah. Stormhaven.
Stormhaven, Deshaun, and what's the, Aldemary one?
I don't know.
Who cares? They're filthy old. Yeah.
Filthy old.
Yeah, like a level 3 Aldemary. I like it. 20 to 30, do the Fighter's Guild.
Yeah, the Fighter's Guild is cool.
Fighter's Guild at 20 to 30 is awesome.
The quest is badass.
The primary quest line is also really good if you're into the story.
Oh my god.
If you like the story of the game, it's really good.
It gets really good in that area.
There's also, in Stormhaven, there's a quest line that involves a king of a small settlement. And the way it works, you have to like go around and try and figure out what's going on. It's like this murder mystery kind of thing, and the reason for the murder isn't what you really suspect, and it's really cool. I don't really want to give away any more of the storyline.
Okay, we got more guild questions here. Unless Kyan, you want to finish answering? I didn't cut you off.
Well, I didn't say anything.
Kyan's hopped up on energy drinks. He's looking at everything that's on
his walls. Just water.
He sees colors, or sees sounds, whatever. Once you have made a guild, do you still need the 10 people in the guild to have it active? To have it active, I don't think so. I think it's just for the guild bank, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, they don't have to be active. You have to have 10 people to get the guild bank. If you go to 9 people, you're able to withdraw from the bank. You can't deposit.
Okay. Oh.
Oh, one question I saw, I don't remember it exactly, but I saw it earlier. It was, how are we going to address people joining the guild once the game starts? And I'm really thinking about just taking that list that Laz has that he has created on the forum. So if you've been accepted into the guild, go on the forums, put your username in his little spreadsheet, and that way when the game gets released, we'll jump in, we'll make the guild, and we just add members with your username. So that way when you log in, it'll automatically show up. Yeah. We probably won't do that maybe till a couple days later. And then once a release hits, a day or two after that, to fill up all the ones that didn't get accepted.
Yeah. Or, I mean, if you see one of us online, just send us a message.
Yeah, yeah. Or that.
Guild shops in Cyrodiil. Can you explain how that works? I got a little confused when trying to read what the developer said about it.
Too bad our PvP guys aren't here. It's...
it's awesome.
It's awesome as long as people know that you're selling stuff. So in Cyrodiil, there's multiple keeps. When your faction takes the keep, you have the option as a guild. I think it has to be a guild officer or anybody from the guild. Do you know?
For what? I'm not sure about that.
To capture it?
To claim it. Can anybody do it?
Yeah, so there's a permission to claim and release resources, which I'm assuming is keeps and everything.
Okay. And, so whoever remember, you set it within your guild to have that permission can go to a specific keep that's unclaimed and go and say, hey, I'm going to claim this keep. You can then put an NPC in the keep that sells your wares. So anybody in Cyrodiil can go to that keep and click on that NPC and see what you're selling.
That's awesome. I like that a lot.
It's an awesome feature. I mean, if or when they release housing, I would also like to see an NPC involved in that aspect for guild houses as well.
Yes. Like Ultima.
Yeah. All right, next question, Liz.
I had trouble finding enough quests for the one level 1 to 10 in certain areas. Are there more quests level 20 to 30 content?
How did you have trouble finding quests? That's what I want to know. Every place you go to gives you a quest.
You walk along the trail and you're like, oh, there's a quest, but I need to go chop this wood first. I'll go grab that quest. I didn't have a problem finding quests at all.
No, me either. I mean, anytime I went off the beaten path, some guy either ran up to me with an arrow on his head or it showed up on my compass. And it's like, damn it, another one!
Yes.
I went back a zone to a zone I could have sworn I cleared to go kill a world boss. I walked up with the world boss and this person ran up to me. It gave me a quest. I'm like, damn! Now I have to do it!
Dude, so, speaking of that, I just want to jump in real quick. When they streamlined Cold Harbor, and this is just like a thing that I just want to get out because it was on my head. So once you finish Cold Harbor, you go to your second zone or whatever. You don't go to that first starting zone. But as soon as you walk down the street, your first person that gives you a quest sends you back to your starting zone. And I wish they would change that because I did that on my first character and I was like, oh, cool, first quest. And I was like, well, what the hell? It's just sending me back to the starting zone that I tried to bypass in the first place. So that was just annoying to me. I just wanted to gripe for a second.
Really?
That's all.
All right, next question before someone starts to gripe again.
Is the Tesso Guild encouraging role-playing? What is your guys' take on RP and gameplay? That's a guild question.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have any problem with that. There, if you fill out the app, there's a spot that says social, and I mean that could be construed as role-players as well. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with role-playing. It's a role-playing game.
Yeah, the only thing I want to say about that is expect people to not roleplay with you. I mean,
yes,
don't go into it expecting everyone's just going to join in and do your fun. Some people might; they might actually try to have fun with it. But expect some people to be like, "What are you doing?" Like, just to be aware.
Are we still taking members? Oh, I don't think the app process ever stops, does it?
Yeah, well, I just told them we're always accepting. I just put that in the chat.
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Accept. So you cannot make more ranks in guild. No, you can't.
No.
You can change the name. You can change the name and get the permissions all day long, but you can't make more ranks now.
I just want to go back to the question. Let's let Kine answer that last question about if they're accepting. Because Kine's been so quiet, and he hasn't had a chance to pitch his awesome guild yet.
Oh, right.
That's what we do at the end of the cast.
We're all talking about ours, and you're just sitting there going, la-di-da-la.
I have a guild too, you know.
Well, much like Garbrick and Chainsaw's Guild, if you want to join ours, we're always accepting too, but you'll have to do a small sacrifice. Usually includes little small furry animals, and we'll hand you a dagger. We'll see if you pass.
Well, at least they give you the dagger.
Yeah, see? Free dagger.
All right, Laz, what's next? We'll do 5 more.
I don't even know who that is. I'm not going to ask that question. It's a different guild, and I'm not even going to ask it because I have no clue who it is.
Well, we lost
me? What?
No, we lost Kine. Kine went off.
Oh, there he goes. He's dead. He is death. that's it for the questions. I mean, I haven't gotten... Oh, wait. No. There are going to be lots of bugged quests when they release like they are in the beta. Only if you do them all at once.
I like this question. Garbrek, I saw you were dealing with this. Did you guys have a chance to experience the guild store, and what features did you or didn't you like?
I didn't get to it.
I personally hate the store only because I'm slightly spoon-fed with World of Warcraft's auction house. I mean, I find World of Warcraft's auction to beat house to be very intuitive to what I need. My biggest gripe is the fact I can't type in the name of an item that I want. And now we just lost Chainsaw. I would say that's probably my biggest gripe. if I'm looking for a specific rune or if I'm looking for a specific type of food, I have to go through this filter system to find it. And an easy example would be log into SOTOR and check out their auction house. I mean, that's the type of filter system that you can expect. And currently, the level requirement option doesn't work because I was looking at stuff for level 25 today and it's like showing me veteran rank 8 stuff. And like, really?
Yeah. Because I was watching your stream when you went to the guild store and I saw that. And I was like, well, you can't just type in something's name if you know what you're looking for. That was kind of a...
Yeah, I don't like that you can't search for specifics. You have to use the filter system.
Yeah.
Which is, it works. It's an easy develop mechanic, and I understand that, but it's kind of a cop-out in certain situations.
Yeah, it's nitpicking. There's probably something, they'll probably get a ton of complaints on, and that'll be changed. Just like any MMO, there's going to be certain things that need to be buffered a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Anything else, Les?
With the ant handles in guild chat, it is kind of immersion breaking, especially if you took your sweet time in naming your character and joined a guild and it was just at handle. What did you guys feel about this? I hate it. I think it should be my toon's name, not my handle or my account name. I absolutely despise that.
I disagree. I like it because there's so many times that you're in a guild and like all these characters, one day you log in and you have no idea who they are. Well, they're all your buddy's alts, right? Like, it's before you know it, you're talking to somebody that you've known for 5 years, but you had no idea it was him because he just rolled a new character. So now you can know exactly who you're talking to, and I like that. And it's especially handy because a lot of the account names are the same as the TSO Elite forum names, so I can see who is.
I completely agree, 100%. I mean, I'm fine with it being one handle, specifically because it's account bound. And I mean, if you don't want people knowing you're online, there is an anonymous option. Like, you can sign yourself as an invisible. So you can log in and people won't know you're online. So if you really want to be anonymous.
Yep, that's a feature I'll have to be using when I'm trolling Laz. So.
This is kind of related to 2030 content. Is there a noticeable difference in classes around the, or class populations around this area of the game and further tanks, healers, DPS, whatever?
Well, the PTS is pretty slim, so you don't really know where anybody is, to be honest. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one in the zone.
That's because most people are in AD. If you log in over there, it's just packed with people.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh,
that's fine. Yeah, there's a specific fan site that somehow got like a majority of the community in the PTS.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably why.
I noticed that Grathwood had a ton of self-healing mobs that required good bashing. Do the other 2030 zones also require better performance?
There's specific mobs. You kind of get used to which ones are going to be the ones that you have to bash and stop from healing. Wolves are a big one. Snakes, they curl up and they heal themselves. There's another one that goes around and eats bodies. Werewolves.
Yeah.
Like the werewolves, they go around and eat other bodies to heal, and you have to stop them, which sucks being a range character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one question in there for Kind Death, which I thought was really...
We're starting to get more and more. So for people who were accepted in the guild, where do we go for the spreadsheet? It's on the forums.
Yeah,
it's
scroll under down the guild section, you'll see it.
Yes.
Didn't Kine have an announcement this week? He didn't leave us hanging. Didn't he leave us hanging or something when the announcement of his guild?
I did, but I said the next week or two, and I wasn't planning on actually being here this week, guys. Like, Galetta was supposed to... I kind of got pulled in the last 30 minutes, which is why my build is kind of, like, nuts crazy. I'm just like, click buttons, people like this. Just try it. Trust me, I'm a professional. I wasn't actually planning on being. I will have it to announce next week, as long as Garbrook lets me come back.
As long as you're not busy, you can come back.
Well, once you let me out, you know, I might not come back.
It's true.
What happens to your guild if you own a guild when your prepaid account expires and you'll buy a new one after a few weeks or month? It just kind of sits there.
Yeah, there's no auto removal system as of yet. So yeah, your guild will stay active. So what do you guys think? I mean, we've been going for an hour and 40 minutes. Let's do the giveaway, do our shameless plugs.
Yes, please.
All right, so let's do the giveaway. Let's see. So this is for an Imperial Edition of the Elder Scrolls Online, digital Imperial Edition. You know what? Laz has fun with this. Let's let Laz roll the dice.
Oh, you want me to? Okay.
You always have fun with that.
I do. I enjoy it.
I talked about fuzzy dice, Laz. Okay. Oh.
Well, in that case, I don't want to do it now. Jeez. All right, guys. So here are the rules. You have to be signed in Twitch, following us on Twitch. You also have to be a member of the website. This is how you will get your information. There's a validation process. You'll find out when the people message you for your information. Hooray. Here we go. You're not going to be able to see it, unfortunately, at least as far as I know. I am refreshing. There are 136 people currently in chat. All the moderators are not selected. There are 128 current viewers. I am rolling now. Maskurin, I'm posting it in Skype and chat. There we go. So, Maskurin, you have 1 minute, I guess, or five? What do you want to do?
We'll do 1 minute.
1 minute to respond for your prize.
The delay's not too bad. I think it's only like 15 seconds.
Oh, that's nice. You have 30 seconds. Jesus. This is pretty intense. I haven't seen a message from him yet. 20 seconds. Oh my god. Is it going to come? Is it going to be here?
There it is.
Ah, there it is, with 14 seconds to go. I don't even think they were paying attention.
No, it wasn't paying attention at all. And they didn't come here for the contest because we didn't announce it. So they came here for us. Yay. Does he want it is the big question.
I don't know. Let's go with the delay. I want to see what they're gonna say.
All right, so while we're waiting, let's go with
shameless plug.
Shameless plug. So let's start off with Chain.
Oh, check out this podcast on iTunes if you're not currently watching it. Which, if you're not, then you wouldn't know that I'd be saying this. So it doesn't really matter. and that's it. I don't have a social media or anything. So just apply to the guild and. And that's it.
He's anonymous. He likes to skirk around the internet. You know, that invisible troll on Reddit. You know.
All right. What about you, Kai?
You can follow me at twitch.tv/kindeath. I'm doing giveaways there leading up to Elder Scrolls on my own. It's not going to be just Elder Scrolls Online games. So it's going to be some games in the Elder Scrolls series and that kind of stuff. Only games. I'm not shipping stuff. I'm not as nice as Garbrick. Sorry, people who want mugs and stuff. It's not going to happen. It's too much work. You can find me on Twitter at Nader Smater. NaterSmater. What else? Oh, my guild, Sodality of the Cairns. We're recruiting. I'm probably going to twist chainsaws and Garbrick's legs so I can try to in Cyrodiil, so I can try to be in one of the resources next to their keep or whatever they do, and I'll probably have my guild members run around the castle endlessly, you know, just streaking, you know, just stuff to troll, you know, to upset them. But I'm going to see if we can get something like that set up. But yeah, we're accepting applications too. And
you should post your website where they can.
I guess I could do that, but that requires effort. Oh, okay.
I know. He's not really saying he wants.
He wants it. He said, "Of course, yeah. I want it," but I'm not sure if I really won. He doesn't know if we're being serious.
Oh, No, yeah, he won. He definitely won. Anyways, I'm Laz. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Laz92 on Twitter, which is at LazTestElite, and I'm also on the website. And I don't do much except stream here and play Dark Souls.
On his channel.
Yeah, on my channel. Not here. This is Tiso.
And I am, as always, your faithful Garbrak. You can follow me on Twitter, at Garbrak. You can follow me on Twitch, Garbrak. You can follow me on Twitch as well, Tiso Elite. Obviously, you're already here. You can follow me on the website, TisoElite.com. I think that's pretty much all the places you could follow me. You can follow me on Facebook, but all my tweets go to Facebook anyways. You don't want to follow me on Facebook. It's horrible.
So Masquerian says he's pre-ordered it, but now he can cancel it. So I guess he wants it. Do you want to get in touch with him, Garb, or how do you want to do this?
You can send him the security key.
Okay. I will inform you of all that information. All right.
So yeah, thanks to everyone for coming out. It was a great show. We discussed some fantastic topics. If you guys have any topics you want to discuss, please let us know in the comments of the Tiso Elite Podcast episode 3 post on the front page. If you have a build of the week suggestion, please let us know. Kinder. Okay, if you're going to do that, fine. Here. Oh, you can't see it. But I have a little chewy. I'll put them in my shirt.
I'll get the Ninja Turtle.
You should get the Ninja. Somebody asked you how come you don't play with that all the time.
That's exactly what I do when I'm not doing this.
So yeah, thanks everybody for coming out. We definitely appreciate it. Make sure you're a member of TisoElite.com, voted number one ESO fan site by myself. We offer Elite Gold and Elite Store for you to spend your Elite Gold in. Yeah, if you guys love our community, feel free to donate if it's working. And if you don't want to donate, but you also want to support our fantastic community, please just give the word out of TisoElite.com.